Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Bring you greetings, those in the upper venue and those watching by line and those who are here in the sanctuary as we conclude our God's Not Dead sermon series. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you. You're awesome and amazing and wonderful. You're altogether lovely and beautiful. What a privilege it is to know you, to serve you, to have the opportunity to be in your presence this morning. God, we pray as we get into the word that you would help us, that you would lead and guide us, that you would rebuke the enemy from being able to steal any part of this word from us, God. Bless us to have ears to hear and hearts to obey. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Now, I was going to say, like, throw your arms around three people before you take your seat, but y'all wasn't standing up. So just throw your arms around three people in whatever way is easiest for you to do and say, I'm glad you're here. And don't just spend all the time with your spouse. You know, it's other people in the room. Hug other people in the upper venue. Hug other people online, you know. Single people, remember you're single. It's a different type of hug you should give. I saw some of the single people say, man, I'm in love when he do this part. Hallelujah. Come to Singled Out tonight and you'll learn how to conduct yourself in a church service. Singled Out is tonight. Romans 10, verse 13. We're going to spend the majority of our time in Acts 1. Just because my voice is going out just a little bit, I'm going to have Pastor Justin read some of the scripture for me. You didn't know that. I just told him, so that wasn't he didn't know pre. There was one cough, and it's like, I need Justin. Okay. I just got back from Arizona at a God's Not Dead event on the campus. You know, it's just under 1,000 students, 600 inside and hundreds outside looking on a screen. We had Dr. Craig, William Lane Craig. Raise your hand if you know who that is. Okay, not a lot of you. Okay, he's the guy that if you were on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and you needed to phone a friend because the topic was Christianity and you didn't in a positive, that's who you would phone. This is the guy who can, in fact, I sat across from him and I asked him, what scientist, atheist, political leader, or whatever that you have not debated would you like to debate, you know, on such? He said, it doesn't matter. No one's a real challenge anymore, so I'll just, you know, whoever sits in front of me, I'll just take. He said, the information is indisputable. It's your answer for everything God says. So I just want you to know, it's good to know that there's Christians. Like, you know how you don't know the answer to stuff and you wish you did, and you wonder, who knows that? He knows that, and he coming with it, making them look like they crazy. I said, I like this. By the time that event was over, you know, because there were atheists in the room, you know, different atheist clubs, you know, half hostile, half friendly, and, you know, then there's after the hours of the presentation, you know, you got the open mic question and answer. And I'm like standing by the mic like this, like, you know, because I don't know how it's going to go down. Y'all know me. You know, it was an academic event, but I was ready for whatever might happen. Be ye also ready. That's in the word. Okay. So, and I was shocked. Only three people came to the mic and two were friendly comments and one lone guy. He was shaking. I said, Lord, help him get his question out. We are in good hands. The real thing is, I'm not going to be dealing with the subject of God's not dead, but whether or not he's alive in you today. And whether you're taking advantage of the life of Christ as evidenced by how you live and the fruit your life produces. And I don't want myself or you to make boasts or claims about your God and your faith without being able to produce the report card that validates your confession. Faith without works is dead. Can you back up with your actions what you do? If I was going to title today's message anything, it would be "Preach Now or Forever Hold Your Peace." Preach now when the world needs you most. Or just raise your hand and say, "You know, I'm out right now." Okay, Romans 10. Let's get into this. And I hope as we get further into this first scripture is just designed to season a later portion of scripture when we're going to deal with the fact that the disciples were still trying to figure out if he was the Messiah. And then once that was clear, God wanted them to have the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And once that was evident, that they needed to get on to the mission. The end result of him being Messiah and you being empowered with the Holy Spirit is the mission of God is executed. So this first part is just a little seasoning for what the end part will be. All right, Romans 10, verse 13, ready, read.
For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Very simple. Just call him. You get him. Read.
How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?
Now, how are the people who are supposed to say yes to God going to know who they should say yes to except the people of God show up and tell you who he is, which is our assignment? But yet the churches are not growing through evangelism nowadays. Even though God has said that he has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save, we are still afraid to speak to our neighbor. We still think that there's a better way than the gospel way. We still think that there's some other secret place in society where God's got a group just holding everything together, and surely the world is not coming down to me and my participation and my assignment to share the God. I know it's not coming down to me because I know I wouldn't trust myself. I'm sure God wouldn't trust it to come down to me. Well, it looks like out of all the billions of people that say that they're Christians, you start taking away those that are not obedient to his command, and you know that 2% of the church is growing through evangelism, then wow, it's coming down to you and me. Very off-course nature of our society lets you know we're not doing the job we were assigned to do. How can they hear without the preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? Read, please.
As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ.
Now listen, the only way people are going to get this is that we repeatedly tell them the message about the death, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, about God becoming a man in Jesus Christ and living like we should live and then dying the death we deserve to die in our place. And 3 days later that God raised him from the dead. Now he offers salvation if we repent and we believe. And that message we're supposed to preach over and over again until they have faith to say yes to it. Because how many in this room can raise their hand and say, you got it on the first time? How many can say you got it on the second time or the third time? How many times did God have to tell you the gospel message over and over again for you to get it? So if you heard somebody at work said they went to church and they still don't believe, it's a sign to you to keep preaching to them. If you have neighbors that still are out jogging and going to lunch and going hunting on Sunday when you on your way to church, that's not a sign that you to say, I live next to some heathens that don't love God. No, that's a sign for you to say, get up and go do something about it. And maybe if you don't know what to do, just do something simple like go give them a gift. Like, you know, and then they'll have to say they got a gift. And they'll have to come over to your house to thank you or you'll go to their house because they're not grateful. And they'll somehow they'll say, why you did it? And I just love my neighbors. Wouldn't it good you get that concept? Well, you know, don't get offended, but I'm like a Jesus person, and he did it, and so I just continue it, and it takes like 2 minutes for me to tell you about them, and I'll keep coming back every week and tell you. You know what? That seed you drop will make them call you at their first crisis. But why is the church not growing through evangelism when all those who he has given the gift of salvation to, all those who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, have a primary focus to do the work of the Lord? If you know him as Messiah and you have the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit, then why are you not on mission? Read that last verse. Just read that, and we're going to go on to some of it. Read verse 21.
But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary
people. I love the fact that God would articulate that even when people are being resistant to him, he's still holding out the message. He's still showing his benevolence. He's still giving grace and opportunity. You may not have received the responses from people that give the indication that you should keep talking to them, but you still and I still must hold out the love of God, hold out the message of God, and you keep doing it and doing it and doing it. But the weakness of society today is we've become silent, and it seems easier of a life as a Christian not to raise your hand up and say you are one. And it seems in just a handful of years, some of the values that we have fallen by the wayside, and all of those nominal Christians, those who show up in church but don't really have the church all on the inside of them, they just don't really come as much anymore. And I'm not mad about that, because I believe God is making us better. But where are his soldiers? Where are his slaves? Where are his anointed ones? Where are those who are committed to say, for God I live and for God I die? He said, well, I gave God about, you know, just like I gave him 10% of my money, I gave him about 10% of my time, and I've done my part, Pastor Jane, you know, between my prayer and my Bible study, and, you know, and I pray for people, but nothing, you know, nothing comes my way. No, it's just like when you don't give God 10% because that's the part you owe him. We owe him all of it. You don't give him 10% of your time because you think that's a good number and it aligns with another number that seems right, you know, the first 10% to get. No, he gets everything. You're on your job for one purpose, represent him. You're in your neighborhood for one purpose, represent him and have his message preached. We're on this corner in Brentwood for one purpose, to let this neighborhood and the world know that Jesus Christ is who he said. He's the Messiah. I don't care how many times they resist you. I don't care what message is being sent to you. Don't give up. You know, at that event, I was assigned to walk Dr. Craig out to his car at the end of the event. It was all over. And you know, and I got him away. And just at the last minute, you know, a young man starts running from a distance, kind of at me hard, yelling, you know, and it's dark. I tried to give like the warning shot, like, no, we're going now. And then he starts saying something, oh, no, you have to talk to me. And I said, oh, it's one of those. And then I just said, you know what? He coming so fast, let's just get it on. So I don't know which way it's going. You know, get the right ready and you just, you know, or get the love ready, whichever. I don't know. It's got to tell the truth, shame the devil. So when he get up here and his first words out of his mouth is, you know, I'm a Muslim. So I was like, oh, no, this is going wrong. And I'm thinking about being a Christian, if you can answer this question right. And so me and Dr. Craig were there, or else I would have answered the question. Because I'm ready. the gospel. And he says, it's so funny, out of all the information we had given at the event, his one question wasn't about the earth and his age or anything like that. Is why was the tomb empty? Why did the women show up? Doesn't make sense to me. This was hours of presentation, and he's to the tomb. You see, what's on every human's brain is, how do I get eternal life? They want to know more about this story than you believe. And the sign to me was, he wants to know, why was that tomb empty? After we answered his question, he had the biggest smile on his face, and I said, where did you turn? He said, listen, I'm not saying I'm a Christian yet. He said, but there's no longer anything in my way preventing me from being one. That's God's business from there. Let's look at Acts 1, and we're going to read the first three verses, and I'm going to comment on them. And this is Jesus. Remember, when we left the story last week, he had been on the road to Emmaus and showing up to his disciples. And this is Jesus talking to them. Now you're going to hear, this is Luke, is the same writer of Acts as Luke. And he is going to talk about writing an ordered account of things, which was the way. A lot of people were writing details of what had happened with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he was trying to chronicle this thing kind of line upon line and get things right when we read Luke's account. And he was writing to a man named Theophilus, who we know to be a prominent man. Some, I don't know if this is credible, would say he was a growing believer. But I want you to see that Luke, in writing to him, has a mission in getting this word and message to the Gentile world, or getting it to them. He frequently, when you continue to read through Acts, is disarming those who read the Romans and saying, look, this faith won't hurt you. It's all right for Paul to appeal to Caesar. So I just kind of contextualizing it for you, because we won't focus much on that part.
In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God.
Now stop. Now, first of all, here is Jesus talking to people, the disciples, about who he is, and the Bible says using many proofs. The very people that we want to already know who Jesus is because they spent the most time with him, the very people that he's already preached the Old Testament to, the people who saw all of the miracles, he's right back after his resurrection dealing with his staff who don't still get it yet. Can you imagine Peter? You have to make it personal. Can you imagine his conversations with Peter? Peter, you know it's me. Remember when your mama-in-law was sick, coughing, and you said, let's go to her house? I went. Remember we were on the road and I touched the coffin and the man got up? You know, remember when I told you repeatedly that I would get up? We can imagine all the conversations he had with them. But can you imagine Peter? I just singled him out because, I mean, the last time we see this brother, he's denying Christ. This is a tough meeting. And Jesus is so willing to work with him that this is his best friend. The scripture even talked about people close to him actually betraying him. And he's still working with him. I don't know where you are with understanding Jesus is the Messiah. And I don't know if you've been stubborn of heart. I don't know if you've given yourself the impression that you believe because you've been around believers and you've been imitating Christian behavior. But if you don't believe he really is who he says he is, and he really did what he said he had done, then maybe it is factual that he is Messiah, but he may not be yours. And I'm telling you that Jesus is so committed to you getting the message that he proves it, that I don't know why I haven't figured out the significance of him saying 40 additional days, but I do know the work he did those 40 days he was here. He worked with the disciples. I'm telling you, when I raise up from the dead, I'm not thinking about coming back nowhere. I'm shot. I'm doing all that. Y'all don't like running in the church. We don't run here, but a running spirit shall hit me, and I'm going to run all around heaven. They said, where he at? He running. He just thought he going to run for a few years. I made it. Don't know. Many proofs. God is willing to break it down for you and I. God is willing to break it down to whoever needs. I can imagine Jesus taking them to Isaiah 7 and 14, which spoke about the virgin birth before it even happened. He'd taken them scripture. He took them to Micah 5 and 2. He took them to all these scriptures proving his point. He was the Messiah, that he was legitimate. The basis of you being able to believe is you have to believe the story. I'm not saying about hearing the story. I'll say it like this. The sower sows the word, and some fell by the wayside, meaning it didn't connect. Some of the word fell among stony ground, and it couldn't get a deep root. So when persecution came, or when the sun came out, it was scorched. It didn't never take root. You've got the word, you've got the information, you've got it, but it didn't sink in. Some fell among, or the word or the seed fell among thorns and thistles, and choked the word out. The cares of this life, your own business, what could happen to you? Care, too busy to do the things of God. Choked it out. And then some fell on good ground and produced some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. If he is the Messiah in your life, and the revelation is clear, the evidence, and don't think it any other way, the evidence is a fruitful life. Well, I'm fruitful. You've been calling yourself fruitful for years. Are you really? I remember laying down in the church lobby crying because I realized that I had boasted of my Christianity, and yet I had produced very little fruit to prove it. Now, I'm not responsible for who gets saved and who doesn't get saved, but I knew I didn't have a track record of even communicating the good news. Who of you who name the name of Jesus Christ as your Messiah and Lord have the right to do a workplace slowdown? I'm going to get to it, Jesus. That's like my son saying they're going to get to the garbage, and they're always missing garbage day. Always. And he still wants to work with you. I'm amazed. I'll leave on this point, but I'm amazed that after all they went through, let me just talk it in street terms. Man, you don't leave me in the middle of a fight. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all left in the garden. Then y'all snuck around, and I could see you. You could see me. Then I'm up on the cross. Y'all couldn't even come there in that moment. Oh, my mama sitting there. Only John I got to give it to. And then I done rose for you. I want you to give an account. Where was y'all at? Where was you hiding at? I saw you when I was dying. I said, he hiding over in the cave. And yet he thinks, you got to get this, he thinks, he knows that if he can convince them about who he is, the world will be changed. And he's willing to bank it all on 12 men or 11 at the moment getting the message and delivering it to the people. And once you get this part, he knows he wants you to have what he has. So in John, I think 20, I may be saying this verse wrong, so don't, I think it's 20, 22. He breathes on them, said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. When the revelation had finally reached its apex, in all the time he had been with them, he had never made this type of proclamation. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. This is the moment when I believe the disciples got born again. Because they needed the completed work of Christ that they didn't believe. And at the moment they believe, there's a declaration from God, receive ye the Holy Spirit, because that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. And 1 Peter tells us, be born again by the incorruptible word of God, which is the gospel that I preach to you. So they receive this. They get the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of God's Spirit, the endowment of God's Spirit on the inside of them, the guarantee that they're going to make it, the guarantee that they're getting eternal life. They have the Messiah, and then they can get now a manifestation. Read verse 4.
And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
You know, it's one thing to get the information about who Jesus is. It's another to have the confidence to deliver that information. So maybe you're here today and you have accepted that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and he's the Lord, and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of your reborn or born again human spirit, and you have all the inheritance of eternal life living on the inside of you. But if that message is locked in you, and if you hold your peace or hide your gospel, it is hid to those who are lost. And if you don't have the confidence to speak, you need the same thing that Jesus used. You need the endowment or the baptism of the Spirit. The Spirit descended on him at his public beginning of ministry, with the Spirit descending on him like a dove. You're going to talk about in Acts 2 how they were clothed with power from on high, and they began to act different, speak different, live different. Men that didn't have clarity about any scripture start using scriptures with clarity. Men that didn't speak with any level of boldness start speaking the word of God boldly. Men who were afraid to come out and that they could lose their life were coming out of hiding and starting to communicate the good news about Jesus. Was men who were so focused on the culture changing to their liking start focused to the kingdom of God coming here on earth. And that came as a result of the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit, not just in them, but upon them. You cannot be afraid of the things of God. Well, I don't want to, you know, have to deal with all the spiritual part because it's messy. I just intellectually accept that Jesus is who he says he is and he did what he said he do. And I just want to go to heaven like that because that's real neat and everything. But we got a society and a community that believe in aliens and witches is on every TV station and movie, and they can levitate and do magic and do everything. We say, oh, that's good. I'm taking my kids to the magic show. Start talking about God, the Holy Ghost, and getting healed and speaking in tongue, and then, oh, they're spooky over there. I don't want to deal with that. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I feel tricked, you know. I didn't know. Like the Holy Spirit is ever credited for doing something bad for humans. You need the power to preach. You need the power to go up to people who don't like you and want to make laws to hurt you and say, I'm not afraid because I've been sent here from God to reprove you and to change you and to lift you up with a good news message. They would stand before magistrates and they would begin to preach to the magistrates that had authority over them about the authority that's in Jesus Christ. And they would be let go time and time again. They were willing to be martyrs for the cause of Christ. They were willing to lay down their life for Christ. What made the difference between the people before the resurrection and the people after the resurrection and the people with the revelation and the people that they finally get it and they get the empowerment of the Spirit, they're able to speak. Preach now or forever hold your peace. Read verse 9.
And when he had said these things and as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.
Now he wants us to go into the world and preach. Don't stand there looking. What do you do now? Oh, no, 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 no. Go get that empowerment that you need to change the world. Once they got the revelation, he knew they didn't need his bodily presence. They didn't need more convincing. He just knew they needed comfort. They needed power. They needed confidence to do the mission. If for some reason you're sitting in this church and you've not decided that you need to be a preacher of the gospel, if you've decided that God is alive in you, but you don't need to proclaim his life to others, if you have exempted yourself from this reality and this work, and you don't have fruit, first examine whether or not Christ is really the Messiah of your life. Then second, examine whether you have that outward demonstration of the Spirit to help you do the work. The confidence. And ask yourself, is his mission living on the inside of you? Or are you living for you? Do you wake up every day to do the same cycle? Breakfast, a little workout, a little devotion, a little 9 to 5, a little sick of my kids, but I'm still doing with you. A little go to TV, a little bed, a little again. On Saturday, I'm going to give myself a break because I've been working. On Sunday, I'm going to give God that day. Maybe I'll see somebody and say hi who needs something. And at some point, I'm going to build up enough time and strength to tell somebody about them. But you never do. It's been years now. It's been years. Not acceptable. You don't work for you. You don't belong to you. Neither do I. You have no rights to take his life, his revelation, his body, and use it for your own purpose. Neither do you do it with your money. You don't do it with your time. You don't do it with your talent. All belongs to him. Stand to your feet. Ministry team, you can come down. Today I tried to help you preach now or forever hold your peace. That starts with a revelation that he is the Messiah. And when you get it, he gets you get born again. He breathes on them, receive the Holy Spirit. But that's the Holy Spirit within. You need the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit without on you, clothing you with power, that you'll have confidence to do the mission and be a witness. You might be here today and you figured out, man, Jesus and me don't even have an authentic relationship. That'll be an individual choice you'll have to make to come down here and make yourself known that we might pray with you so you can let him into your life and make him Lord and boss. Or maybe you hear who I really want to pray for today, and you've not made a decision that you're going to let Jesus run your day and run your life. And that's got to be over. The channel in this church will never change. You will be responsible to communicate life in this gospel every chance you get. And the record will keep playing until you say yes. So we're going to end today by raising our right hand. Everybody that's a Bible believing, Jesus is Lord of your life, raise your right hand. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent from doing my will and not yours. Give me a new fire and a new clarity about your gospel that I might preach it and see many sons and daughters come to know you. From this day forward, I recommit that I'm yours. Use me. Use me. Use me in Jesus' name. Amen. If you agree with that prayer, give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Now I pray you go in the peace of the Lord, and the Lord be with you in all the rest of the day in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Any prayer needs whatsoever, we're here. Salvation, Holy Spirit, friendship, whatever, we're here for you. God bless you. You are dismissed.